Now, I was at the 8:30 service, and I'm going to do my best to preach my message as though I did not hear Nathan already preach it. I was showing Angie the notes that I already had typed. I mean, raise your hand, Angie. I was showing you, wasn't I? I'm going, is he going to use every verse I have on here? And it is some different verses, but boy, it is the same message. And I'm going, God, what are you doing? Why in this season, the year of power? I mean, he seems almost like, you know, gee, he wants us to deal with our flesh. It's the Lord, you know, what is going on? And every time I get to thinking like that, I'm reminded of something Tim said many years ago that I took to heart. He said, don't ever take anything lightly that Pastor Dave says, even when you think he's kidding. You know, all that humor. I like another thing that the way the Holy Spirit revealed it to Tim. He said, Dave's humor is like the enzymes that helps you digest the meat of the word. Boy, isn't that true? I mean, Sue and I, in the early days, we had been so hurt by religion, we were scared to death. I'll be honest with you. We were scared to death to go to church. We didn't want to get hurt again. We also didn't want to get deceived again. And we were afraid, you know. We'd come in and here Dave would start ministering. Oh, the power and the gifts and the glory was wonderful. The love, you could just feel the tangible love in the services. But that humor, if y'all listen to those tapes, the messages from 92, 93, 94, that lady cackling and snorting, like when Sue really gets tickled, she can't help it. She goes, you know. That lady you hear on those tapes in the background, that's Sue. And that was God healing her and healing me. We needed that humor really bad. But the reason I'm saying that, going, God, why does all this now about the flesh? What is this? Why now? And every time I ask, he shows me again. That's why I said that about Dave. That vision that he gave Dave in the very beginning. Because Dave knew what his assignment was pretty early on. I've been here 23 years. I heard it when I first started coming. He had it, I don't know how long before that, but it was, go to Tulsa. I want you to take a group of people and go far enough into me to bring a supernatural revival to a religious city. Well, that's quite an assignment. Dave said he thought it would be tough. It might take him 6 months. I've heard him say that. But early on in that process, God gave him a vision. I'm going to say it again because this is where we are, and it's why he's doing, why he's teaching where he is. And y'all, here we go. Y'all, you know that many times when I minister, he doesn't even let me know what I'm going to say before I get up in the pulpit. But boy, here recently, it's not been like that. He has been waking me up. I've been verse by verse following him at home, and it's mainly scriptures. The scriptures have become the notes now, but he's not giving me a choice, and apparently he's not Nathan either. Even Lily, she was sitting there listening to Nathan. She'd been, Lily, in case you don't know, surely everyone in the world knows who Lily is by now. My little Lily Cakes, my little 7-year-old granddaughter, she was here at the 8:30, and she's listening to Nathan, and she goes, hasn't he preached this before? Now, two things about that I love. Number one, she's listening. Number one, that's amen. Bring your kids to church. And as soon as they're old enough, don't leave them back there. Bring them out here where they can hear. She's old enough to hear. But the second thing I love about that is, well, yes and no. I said every time he preaches it, he preaches something that he didn't have in it before. I get something every time. I don't know about you, but I get something every time. All right. Oh, the vision. Well, what's going on right now is that vision that Dave saw right in the beginning of the whole earth. He saw it like from outer space, I guess. And there was like this black cloud, this black envelope, I don't know exactly how he saw it. I'm trying to, the way I see it when I hear him describe it. But there was this black cloud all around the whole earth. And every now and then, somebody would pray and fast and seek the Lord, and they'd get their hand up. He'd see a hand to come up through that cloud, and it would begin to glow like gold or something. And then when that person would go down to earth and lay hands on the sick, boy, they'd recover. They'd have signs and wonders and healings. And then he saw another person get their head up through there, and their head began to shine like gold. Boy, when they'd come back, they would teach the very oracles of God. I mean, it was just incredible, you know. But every now and then, somebody would get their whole person through that cloud, and that whole person would begin to shine and like gold, you know. Boy, when they would come back, he said, those would be your revivalists of history. You know, we only have maybe a handful every century. That would be your Smith Wigglesworth, your John G. Lakes. And boy, when they would preach revival, whole countries would be changed, you know. So Dave, watching that vision, I mean, the Spirit's generating it. I'm familiar with those, you know. It's not something you're creating, you're watching it. And he says, I know what that black band is. I know what that is. That's the devil. And the Lord said, no, that's not the devil. That's your flesh. Ow, everyone collectively. Ow. We're not going to have a revival till we get past our flesh. Now, let me qualify that, because history will tell you we've had revivals. There's no denying the healing revivals that broke out after World War II in the United States. And the different ministries, you know, they'd there's no denying the signs and the wonders and the healings that would take place. But now most of them, not all of them, most of them, though, would suffer some kind of scandal. Even in recent times, a few years ago, there was one that broke out down in Florida. And there was no denying the miracles that was happening. But by the end of that one, it didn't take very long either, a few weeks. And there was adultery involved and alcohol involved and money involved. That's been the problem, because God can pour out the gifts on anybody. I mean, you'll find all of the gifts in the Old Testament except tongues and interpretation of tongues. You'll find all of the gifts even in the Old Testament, people that weren't born again. So in the New Testament, obviously he can pour out the gifts on anybody that'll let him. And Dave talks about a minister he knows. I don't know if he's still doing it, but at the time he was ministering. And man, medical documentation. You could bring doctors, and they could not deny the miracle that would happen in this man. It was a tent revivalist, and he'd have miracles. Then right at the end of it, that same guy turned around and offered to sell you a prophecy for $300. And you're going, something's just wrong with that. I remember one of the revivalists that was in that healing wave in the 40s after World War II. He was a very large man. He was fat, okay? Outstanding miracles. But he had a few issues. He was the one that flew to Australia, I believe it was, to measure Oral Roberts' tent, because Oral was there at the time, and he measured Oral's tent in every direction. And then he promptly ordered a tent maker to make him one 6 inches longer in each direction so that he could advertise he had the largest tent ministry in the world. You don't see any ego problems there, do you? There's no flesh there, right? Yet when this guy would minister, see, he'd minister by the gifts. And he had found out how to let God do it through him. And God loves people. He wants to heal his heart. If there's somebody suffering there, he wants to heal them. And if you'll let him use you in the gifts, normally he will. Amen? But that does not mean you're very mature. So the same man, this large fellow, another one of the ministers in that healing revival, I'm purposely leaving out names, okay? But another minister, God said to him, because God used this guy as a prophet, He says, I'm judging him in three areas, God says. I need you, nobody else would do it, I need you to go tell him that if he will judge himself in these three areas, then he'll live. But if not, he's going to die. And I still remember the three areas was, number one, you're too fat. How many wants to be a prophet right now? Raise your hand, see. Go around telling people, you're too fat. You need to lose weight. You're going to die. What? Yeah, and you're not walking the love walk. That was the second thing. You got to have to judge yourself in love. You're not dealing with people the way you need to. Number three was the money. You're not being honest with the people about the money. What do you think that guy did? Did he repent? He got mad. He died at age 38. 6 months later, he was dead, age 38. That is what God does not want for the prayer center. That is not the vision. That he has a, he's calling us to a revival even beyond anything that's been seen in really since the book of Acts. I don't know anywhere else to go. But he wants it in a people that have gotten themselves all the way through that flesh. Mortify the flesh. Learned how to put the flesh on the cross where it no longer controls us. See, the enemy, he has no access to you except through the flesh. Your spirit is born of God? Dear Lord, do you know your spirit is the type and shadow of your spirit is the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament. It's the Holy of Holies. See, the only reason you can have the Holy Ghost living in you is because God created a Holy of Holies on the inside of you. He did it free by grace. And there we go. It is by grace you're saved, not of works. It's God's free gift. And he puts a new spirit created in the very image of Christ on the inside of you. If you'll allow me, that is the Holy of Holies. And that's why the Holy Spirit can come and live in you. Everywhere you go, you are the temple of God. There is a righteous Holy Spirit on the inside of you, created that way from the get-go. And that's what Nathan was teaching on this morning. Saying that righteous and holy part does not have to mature. It's born mature. It has the law of God, the nature of Christ. Ephesians tells you, created in righteousness and true holiness. I love how that's worded. There's a lot of man-made holiness that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. They'll tell you, don't touch this, don't taste that. And, you know, we could go to several books and talk about that. No, true holiness. Yes, sir. Okay. True holiness. True holiness. See, here's where I want to get to. I haven't opened my notes yet. They're right there. In between the services, my lily cakes. Now, Papa listens when Lily Cake speaks. By the way, your father listens when you speak. You're as precious to him as my lily cakes is to me, even more so. She says, now, Papa, we're driving back. Papa, are you going to do for me the same thing that my daddy does when I come to the early service? What do you think Papa's going to surpass daddy, you know? So what does your daddy do? Well, he gets me a donut. We're headed to the Quick Trip right now. I'm telling you. I said, where does he get them? She says, Quick Trip. All right. I'm going to the Quick. So I'm walking in, and she's just little. She's 7 years old. And I go, I'm looking at the little donuts. You know, I'm looking at the little donuts. I said, is this the kind your daddy gets? No. What kind is it? It's the giant long eclair slathered in chocolate. I said, your daddy let you have that? We'd like one eclair, please. Now, that's a good story. She only ate about half of it, by the way. Don't write me any letters, okay? Now, here's the holiness part, though. Going in there, we recognized a minister friend. And, hey, how you doing? Got out, hugged necks real quick. And don't have a whole lot of time. So I'm, okay, love you, hallelujah. They're about to leave, and Lily and I are going to walk into the Quick Trip. And the Holy Ghost says, let me rephrase that. The Lord Jesus Christ on his throne says, give them $40. And I could have easily walked on past there. Could have. Is it that clear? No, I don't know. I don't know. I can't say this time that I heard a voice out of heaven. But it was as clear as a bell. I knew. How do you know without hearing? I don't know. But it was clear. I even knew the amount. And they were already starting to back out. You know, what? Wait, flag them down, turn around. Go give them $40. Now, what if I hadn't? That's unrighteousness. That's walking in disobedience to the Lord. See, and I want to get to the place where that's the only kind of sin that I have to contend with. Gary, are you contending with anything else? Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. See, when we get to that place where that's really that really, if you don't know the truth of it, that's what I live for. Hearing him say anything like that, anything. It doesn't have to be money, anything. That's life. That's how he lives his life through us. You hear and obey, you know. And it becomes the joy of your life, see. But along that path, there's this old flesh dies hard. Has anyone but me and Nathan found that out? See, and if you listen to me today, I can save you at least 23 years. How many would like to save 23 years? Because the truth of the matter is, I continue, now again, I use smoking because it's easy and everybody knows about it and it's obvious and so forth. We could use any kind of sin you want to talk about. But I like that one because it's easy, you know. The truth of the matter is, I got born again at age 33, and I didn't quit smoking for 23 years. And I didn't think I could quit smoking. Part of the time I thought I had a devil in me. Part of the time I thought, like Nathan was saying, I'm not conformed enough yet to the image of Christ. I'm just not grown up enough. And so it allowed me to keep doing what I was doing, you know. Had I really understood then what I'm going to preach to you today, I could have saved myself 23 years. Because I could have quit the day I was born again. But I had had a lot of help from, quote, preachers in the past before that day, growing up in church, who they're programming our whole nation with false doctrine. And they mean well. These are God-loving, Christ-focused, if you'll allow me, giving their lives the best they know how to Jesus. These are not evil people, but they're just wrong. And they'll preach things like you're just an old sinner saved by grace. And they're sincere. They mean it down to their toenails. And I don't care that they mean it. It is still false doctrine. And if it's not the truth, it will not set you free. As long as you continue to think that and believe that, you're going to be bound. That's not the truth that sets you free. See? We've got to know the truth no matter how hard it is on us, no matter how we have to come right up face to face with that old ugly flesh. Say, get on the cross. And he goes, you try and put me on the cross, I will kill you. That's what my flesh always says. But we have to stand. You talk about endurance? Okay. Did I say go to Luke 9? Here we go. Verse 23. Now, Nathan, I know there's a few different scriptures, but this was typed before I came to the 8:30 service. Got up early. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Number one, you got to deny yourself. And take up his cross how often? Daily. That's number two. And number three, follow me. That means he's not going to follow you around to do your will. You're going to follow him around to do his will. Got that? For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged? Now notice the connection here. If he gained the whole what? Keep that in mind, how he connects the world with this process. What is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? So Jesus says, if we're going to follow him, these are the three things we have to do. So I'm going, well, did he do that? Did he do it himself? He says, first off, you got to deny yourself. And I'm asking the Holy Ghost. I'm going, well, where did he deny himself? Well, look in the very previous verse. Look at verse 22. He just revealed this to his disciples. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes. And if that's not bad enough, and be slain. That's a nice word for killed dead. And be killed. and be raised the third day. Do y'all know any normal humans that want to be rejected by their society, killed? Now, that raise the third day is okay. That takes a little faith. Okay. What he's saying, he is laying out right there, this is the will I'm surrendering to. I am denying my right to live a full, long, prosperous life. You know, he had the same Bible promise as you have. With long life, I will satisfy him. Couldn't he have stood on that promise? Could he not have stood on that promise?
Yes.
But when the Lord says, this is my will for you to die on the cross at age 33. Now, Jesus was as much man as he was God. He is the God-man. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. No person at age 33 wants to be rejected by their society and killed. Now, they just don't. But he says, this is the Father's will. This is what's going to happen to me. Now, it's interesting that Luke doesn't record this, but the other three gospel writers do. Peter rejected it. I taught on that. He had me teach on that, a few months ago. Peter rejected that. He got right up in his business. He got nose to nose. He took him apart and said, no, what you just said, that's not the way it's going to be. This shall not happen unto you. How many remember those lessons? Why? That is not the agenda that Peter had for the gospel. That's not the way he had read it. That's not the way he had heard it. That's not the way he thought it should be for the Messiah. And he had me teach for several weeks on that. There's division in the camp. Well, sadly, in the Christian camp today, you talk about division in the camp. We've got us at one end of the thing saying, deny yourself. Put your flesh on the cross every day and follow him. At the other end of the pendulum swing, you got your best life now. How to get God to make all your dreams come true. Now, those two are not reconcilable. I'm sorry, you can't have both. But you can't reconcile those two things. So when he says, he just laid out for them. He says, look, they're going to kill me. They're going to reject me and kill me. And I'm trusting God to raise me up on the third day. So that was the will of the Father for him. But in his humanity, on the human side of Jesus, the man side, there was resistance to the Father's will. Now go ahead, so you can see it. It's in the same book. Just go over to Luke 22. Now notice how he had to struggle. His will against the Father's will. And we're talking about walking above sin. I wish that all of my sin had to do with this. Like, give them $40 or don't give them $40. That'd be nice if that, you know. Okay, that's enough. Luke 22, verse 39. So it says, he came out and he went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. When he was at the place, he said unto them, now please, if you mark in your Bible, pray that you, now you might underline, enter not into temptation. Pray that you, underline, enter not into temptation. It's going to mean a lot to you here in a minute. Let me just say this at this point. It is no sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted. As long as you're wearing this mortal flesh, there is going to be temptation. Now, I've learned from experience, you can retrain the flesh not to be so tempted. I used to think I couldn't live a day without alcohol. What year is this? Anyway, I've been living since 1980 without it. I don't know what year it is either. I'm not in my mind right now. Gary finally made it out of his mind. You knew that all the time. Well, however long that is, from 1980 till now, and my flesh doesn't crave it. Boy, I remember when it did. I remember when it did. Flesh meaning more than just the physical flesh. It's that plus all any attribute of the soul that's not yet been transformed to the mind of Christ. My flesh today does not crave nicotine. Boy, I remember when it did. In fact, he told me he's going to kill me. You know, I'm going to quit you. I'm going to quit that nicotine. It says, I will kill you dead. Do you understand? Boy, the withdrawals came, and I thought it was true. What I'm saying, though, now it's been a long time. Even when stress comes, don't even think. I'm always surprised still yet. I go, about 3 days later after the stress was over, I never even thought of having one. You just don't know what victory that is. But anyway, so I know the flesh can be retrained. But still, as long as we're wearing these bodies, they have the motions of sin in them. But let me say it again. It is no sin to be tempted. The sin is when you yield to the temptation. And we're growing up now to the point he's not allowing us anymore to blame it on the devil. Did you hear how quiet it got right there? No. We are going to get into that, but it may be a little while. He's having me study in fine detail. I'll give you this much. See, really, Adam and Eve had one leg up on us because their body was not yet fallen. They did not have the motions of sin in their flesh. Yet you can see how the activity of the tempter there. How did he do it? He got them looking. Let's talk with Eve first. He got her looking. And he started putting, you know, thoughts in her mind. Hath God said? Did he really say that or did he not say that? Then he started coming against motives. But he didn't get on the inside of her and make her do anything. She had to think about it. She had to meditate on it. And finally, she made the decision to reach up and pluck that fruit, whatever it was. The devil couldn't make her do anything. And even more so with Adam. Adam wasn't even deceived. Adam just flat chose. He just flat chose with full knowledge. We'll get into it. That's the deceiver hasn't changed. He's still coming, hath God said. He's trying to get you to doubt that you are who God says you are in his word. Has God said that you're a new creature? Don't you see how you lost your temper this morning? Don't you see how you ate the fourth Krispy Kreme? Don't you see how you lied to cover your own self? Hath God said, you're not a new creature. I don't care what the Bible says. You're just an old sinner. See, that preacher was right. You're just an old sinner. And he's trying to get you to believe false doctrine based on experience rather than on the Word of God.